Blog Talk Radio.
Remember when you were a kid, how excited you were to hear that music because it meant the Star Wars a Star Wars movie was coming on the screen?
Never heard of it.
Good evening, yes, Ranger fans, and welcome to another edition of Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Eddie, how are you?
I am fit as a fiddle, not physically fit as a fiddle, but mentally fit as a tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm ready to go nutso crazy, bizarro world, wacky. Because really, there's not much to talk about in Rangerland, but let's just, we'll find something, we'll talk about something. If we can't talk about our team, we'll talk about somebody else's team.
That's right.
How I'm feeling tonight, Jimmy.
I think the perfect way to follow up last week's great chat that we had with Rick Carpinello, since he's such a big Seinfeld fan, is to say that tonight we got a show about nothing.
That's nothing different.
I mean, there's not a whole lot of new news going on around the Rangers, but we got a few things we'll talk about. And like Eddie said, if we can't talk about our own team, we'll talk about a few others, and we'll talk about a few things that went on this week, and we'll lay out the schedule for you early here. Mandar is saying that, Eddie, you sound a little choppy.
Choppy, schmoppy. Schmoopy, moopy.
Choppy.
We have a rainstorm going on here, so you're lucky you get anything.
Uh-oh. Get the generator going. Gotta get the generator going. Just to let you guys, since holy Christ, look at all these blue shirt bastards that are here already. We got a full chat room already. Good evening,
guys.
Good evening to
these
everyone.
Guys, I hate to interrupt you. Are these guys? Oh God, I forgot my friend. Oh yeah, are these guys comfortable with the blue shirt bastard moniker that we've given you guys? The blue shirt bastards. Is that too caustic? Would you like a softer name? Is it good for you guys? Let me know, and let us know in the chat room if you like that name that we've given you.
I think bastards is appropriate, personally. Ricky O loves it. Blue shirt bastards.
All right, that's what it says.
Look, we got an old friend here tonight. Kala, I don't know how the hell to say his name, but I think his first name is Chris Calacata 17. We haven't seen him in a long time.
Chris Calacata, we love
him. Yeah, months. It's been months since we've seen him. Critical is okay with it. Jay's okay with it.
Also looks like he wants to go with bastards, but
evil Donald Brashear wants a blue shirt. Says blue shirt mofos. Frosty says the blue shirt bungholes. I think that's a little strong.
Yeah, that's a little bit too strong for Hall. That could be more controversial sect of fans can be the bungholes.
Yeah, since we always say we have our own whack pack here, maybe they'll be the bungholes, you know, like Newman and Zach, and, you know, those guys will be the bungholes.
I don't think they're bungholes.
All right. We'll take calls in a couple of minutes, 646-478-4692. And, yes, we will talk about Matt McCoo, McMillan from McMillan and Wife, and whatever the hell his name is. We'll get to him in just a minute. The big trade, it was a blockbuster deal the Rangers made. The blue shirt butt wipers. You guys are out of control. Anyway, all right, we'll get to that in just a couple minutes. Newman, we all know you have a girlfriend. You don't have to mention her every 6 minutes in the chat room there, his girlfriend.
Yeah, dude, it's like you discovered fire.
My girlfriend, Morgan Fairchild, whom I've seen naked. Is Newman going to be one of those guys that has drop his girlfriend in every conversation? So I'm sitting with my girlfriend watching Deadliest Catch the other night. My girlfriend says, "Hey, Captain Phil is dead." My girlfriend says, "But I think Sig Hansen is the best of the captains on that show." So then I went and got my girlfriend a bowl of popcorn while my girlfriend had a can of Coke. And Frosty says, "Yeah, big deal. I have a wife."
Yeah. You get a wife, you don't mention her that much, though. I don't want to mention the wife too much in front of the friends, and I go, "Oh boy, this guy's weird."
Now, I wanted to mention this before I forgot. I went back and I listened to. Geez, you guys are killing
me. The chat room is just too much. I can't watch it. Jonathan Westray says Newman is like Kenny Banyan.
He's gonna get a bowl of soup at Mindy's. Anyway, all right.
Got it.
All right, Costa, go easy in there, will you? There's kids in there. Good, my God. Anyway, all right. I went back and listened to last week's show, and one of the things Rick said kind of touched a nerve with me, and I had started to mention it at the time, but then we kind of got off the subject. He was talking about the incident that he had with Tortorella, where he was saying, he had wrote in his blog that why doesn't Tortorella use an extra forward in overtime like he used to with Tampa Bay, and it started this whole thing. And Tortorella's answer to that was that he has a goalie that can win him shootouts and that they're comfortable going to shootouts. And, you know, that really kind of – after I listened to it, I thought, you know, that really kind of – it's kind of crazy thinking, don't you think? I mean, the shootouts – are such a crapshoot. Anything can happen in a shootout. And when you go into a shootout and you leave your best goal scorer sitting on the bench in favor of Olli Jokinen, I mean, you know, it's kind of weird. He doesn't mind playing for the shootouts, but at the same time, it's like he doesn't want to give his – it seems like he doesn't give his team the best chance to win in them either, does it?
No.
Am I off base?
I think Tortorella – just gives you an answer depending on the day or the game. I don't think he really means anything he says. I mean, watching a full year of the man, I can tell you he doesn't. I mean, maybe this year we'll see some of what he says be backed up with actual things. But when you allow your goaltender to go to shootouts and want that, first of all, it shows a lack of something that you really need to get 2 points and not give the other team 1 point, especially if you're playing a team in your conference. So, to me, that thought process could have led to the Rangers not making the playoffs last year. And I'm not going to go through every game. Plus, if you put Henrik, first of all, you know, most teams can put together a pretty good shootout lineup, and I don't care how good you are. It's a damn breakaway. And like you said, people can get lucky in a shootout, too. I mean, Marek Malik scored a great goal in a shootout, so anybody can. Also, I think, and I don't know if this has happened. Maybe you guys know because, you know. But I would think letting your goaltender take shootout shots probably could lead to more of an injury, you know, because they're sprawling all around. Maybe I'm totally overanalyzing this because I don't remember any goalie like getting hurt during a shootout. But still, I don't like the whole general philosophy of let Henrik bail us out, because basically I think isn't that the philosophy going into every game before they even get to the shootout? Let Gabrick score, but you're right. Not letting Gabrick giving you the best opportunity to win and not putting him in the shootout. Yeah, we're still was still on torts for that decision. You know, so yes, I agree with you on that point. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Other than that, I mean, Karp was great. It was really good. You know, sometimes we get kind of caught up in the interviews, and you don't realize, you know, how they're going or anything until you listen back to it. But he was good. He's always welcome. Him and Andrew Gross, they're welcome anytime.
Yeah, I was just wrapping up what we talked about Rick with was the fact that that the players today don't even know who the reporters are. They don't know their names. Like, you know, Chris Drury may know Rick's name, but like the younger players today, and that they're so coached and so monitored. I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that when you went to the draft, that there's a guy there with a BlackBerry going da 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 typing everything the guy says. I mean, that's just...
Well,
I find it hard. I disagree with Carter. I don't think that's going on in other dressing rooms. I think it's just going on in that crazy, you know, psycho persecution complex Ranger dressing room, the anti-media thing. I really do. So anyway.
Well, like I said, you see the PR guys standing right next to the players and whoever, you know, be it Sather or Gordy Clark, whoever, and they're typing in the BlackBerry. But I didn't really know until Karp said something that's what they're doing, is that they're taking down, you know, everything they say. So it didn't really click with me. You know, as far as I knew, they could just be on their, you know, just be on their BlackBerry, just, you know, typing away to, you know, an email or whatever. So, and I can tell you that, you know, I didn't just, you saw, like, I took a lot of pictures of the other draft picks and stuff like that. So I was, you know, I was down underneath the arena quite a bit where the draft picks were, and I didn't see that going on with any other teams like I did with the Rangers.
I mean, no. The Minnesota Wild are not doing that. You know, they're a fan-friendly franchise. Wow, that's some alliteration there I threw in there. Fan-friendly franchise. That's
yeah.
A big joke. Hey, I want a rim shot for that one. I just wanted the rim shot thing. That's why I stalled till you got to it. Now, I'm going to defer from the, defer. I guess defer is the word I'm looking for. I don't know what the hell word I'm looking for, but now, there is some rumors that the Rangers are maybe interested. The fact that he could be available is this guy, Clark MacArthur. Now, I know you Rangers fans are going to go, Clark MacArthur, I don't want the Clark bar. General MacArthur, I can just wait to see the Bobby Clark MacArthur, what you guys are going to come up with. And I, you know, on one of the websites, everybody was bashing. Why would we want a third line grinder? Well, you know what? I'd like to have a third line grinder who's actually a third line grinder. Then look up the guy's stats. I did some investigation. Clark MacArthur went to salary arbitration with the Thrashers, $2.4 million, and the Thrash walked away from it. So he's unrestricted at this point. The 2.4, he had 16 goals last year between Buffalo and Atlanta. And everybody's like, third line grinder. I'm like, third line grinder, the guy had 3 less goals than Ryan Callahan. So I think if the Rangers could get the guy in here, the Clark bar might be a good addition. He'll play the left side. I mean, 16 goals from the left side ain't too bad.
Plus, we could play that song MacArthur Park when they sign him. We could make Clark Griswold jokes. I mean, you know, the possibilities are endless.
See, here we go. Rock is starting with me today. We need top 6 forwards. Where are we going to get top 6 forwards from? We have a dollar worth of cap space. There's nobody left. I mean, let's face it. I mean, there isn't anyone left that would even fit that bill. And so I'm thinking, you know, listen, I just think that, you know, a Clark MacArthur, hey, then, oh, well, we don't want to, that's a less spot for a young guy. Ah, freak the young guys. Why don't they play in Hartford 1 year? Why do they kind of come right to the NHL? Like, we've had a lot of success in that.
Clark MacArthur's only 25. Isn't that a young guy?
No, they don't want 20-year-olds in here. No. I mean, I'm not just saying. Well, you know, you guys are saying he's a mediocre second-line center. Maybe. What do you think Eric Christensen is? He's not even a second-line center. That guy stinks. Everybody's in a love fest with Eric Christensen. The guy blows. The team is going to be terrible. This team is going to be bad. Now I'm bad. I'm down on this team now. I'm looking at the... Oh, I mean, come on. Oh, God. You guys are going crazy. Anyway. But who knows? I didn't mean to insult Eric Christensen. No, next on the show, Eric Christensen.
Next week on the show, Eric Christensen.
All right. So you want to go for the lineup, and did you want to do that?
Well, we got a couple of calls already waiting on hold. Why don't we take calls and... We get around to that. We got time. We got an hour and 43 minutes.
Okay.
All right. Robbie.
What's going on?
You're on the air. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. How you doing? I got my permit today.
Fantastical.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like that.
What was that?
It was applause.
Oh,
it was applause.
Thank you. Oh,
so, all right. So, wait a minute. You live in Jersey, right? So you got your permit.
Yeah.
Now, does that so you're 16? That means you can drive during the day with a licensed New Jersey driver, correct?
Yes, who's an adult. Yeah.
Okay. So, when do you turn 17?
February 21st.
Okay.
So that's next year.
Okay.
What was I going to ask? All right, here, let me just get to this.
All right.
This may be random.
What the hell's wrong with the Mets?
I don't know what's going on.
I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the Mets. You want to know what's wrong with the Mets? Carlos Beltran is back. That's what's wrong with the Mets.
What, you don't like him?
No, I don't like him.
Huh,
I think he's bad in the locker room. I think he's like a virus. Telling you, did you read the post today? Last night they get beat by Arizona, the worst team in the National League. Again, they get beat. Players are laughing it up in the clubhouse with the media. Alex Cora is yelling at the other players, "Shut up! We just got our asses handed to us. Show a little respect." Telling you, Beltran.
Well,
How many games have they won since Carlos Beltran came back?
Only one. That was on Sunday.
Thank you, and that was a fluke. They shouldn't have won that game either.
Because the umpire screwed it. But let me just ask this one thing.
All right, go ahead.
I want the chat room to listen. Who is a worse owner, James Dolan or Jeff Wilpon? Who's the worst owner? Who is worse?
James Dolan.
I seriously. Is it by far or is it big club?
James Dolan is screwing up two teams.
Yeah.
He beat Wilpon.
Yeah. And he's got you there.
So you think that Dolan is worse than Jeff Wilpon?
Well, at least the Wilpons have had some. I mean, they won the World Series in '86. They made it to the World Series in 2000. There were a couple of decent postseason runs.
That was when they had a small share.
In '86, they do spend money.
I mean, they spend, if you look at it, maybe not comparatively to the Yankees. I don't know when it turned to baseball talk, but I guess you asked about Dolan. They do spend money, you can't fault them on that. By the way, speaking of the Mets, I was telling Robbie on Facebook that I've actually caught a couple games.
There you go.
Yeah. How many games have they played so far?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
About 90, 95 maybe?
Right. It took 90 games into the baseball season to realize that Ike Davis was black. I mean, white. Because I heard the name Ike Davis in preseason, and I just thought maybe he was a black gentleman. Because Ike Davis, like Ike Turner or Davis, or like, you know. And I'm watching the Mets game, and like Ike Davis is on deck, and I look, I go, that guy's white. That ain't Ike Davis. And no, Ike Davis is a white guy.
he's the future of the team. Here's one of them.
I like him. I heard what you call it? He's good defensively, I heard.
Well, I got one more thing. Is there any Rangers fan that's in the chat room or between you that really hates, and I mean despises, the New York Islanders with a burning passion? Is there still anyone who really, I mean really hates them?
Eddie does.
What?
I do.
Eddie, you do?
Oh, yeah. I hate the Islanders, of course.
Eddie, guys,
Dandaw hates them.
Who?
Robbie, you got to understand something. You know, I know you're only 16, but you got to understand when Eddie and me and Mandar and Frosty, you got to understand when we grew up.
Yeah,
the hell that we went through. I mean, I grew up in, I grew up in Bayonne. Which oddly enough was Islander territory back when I was growing up. There was mostly Islander fans. Eddie grew up on Long Island. I think Mandar grew up on Long Island too. We suffered for a long time at the hands of the Islanders and their fans.
Now you can go back. I just like I hate
go
to
back with what? go back with
just,
what?
Just
ha ha! Ha ha! You were the 10th seed. We were the 8.5 seed. Ha ha!
No, just tell them that they're on life support. They play in the worst sporting venue in the country. They have a horrible owner. They have no fans whatsoever. I've only seen two Islanders fans outside of Long Island, which is pretty pathetic. And I hate to say it, but I hate the Devils more.
Well, I could see you being, you're younger. You would hate the Devils. But you have to understand, the 4 years of my formative high school years, the Islanders won the Stanley Cup every year.
Oh, my God.
I used to come in. Right. So I had to come in with my Ranger hat on, and they all sat there waiting for me. No matter what exit I decided to go into, they knew where I was coming into school, and just like vultures, Rangers suck. We won the Cup. And me, during the regular season, if the Rangers would beat them, of course, I was like gloating. And they used to get so upset when the Rangers actually beat them. And they really are freaks. And, like, you want to talk about haters. Just a quick story. Ricky O hates the Islanders with all his life force. He actually met Billy Smith in person and pulled his toupee off and ran.
That's
how much hate we got.
And Robbie, you know, something else you got to realize is that it wasn't just the four cups. You know, the Islanders came in 1972, and were bad for 2 years, and that's it. And then their third season, they were a powerhouse in the NHL from pretty much their third season until about their 15th season. They were one of the top teams in the league. While the Rangers were missing the playoffs in the mid-70s, and there were trades and bad coaches, and they had that one run in 78 and 79, and beating the Islanders, that was a big deal. The Islanders had 116 points that year. They went 4 years in a row before they even won their first cup. They went 4 years in a row with over 100 points. So the Islanders got really good really fast, and, Ranger fans at that time, we were suffering, maybe not us because we were younger, but our dads or, whatever, the generation before us, they were going on 35 years without a cup. And here come these pricks from Long Island out of nowhere, and they put together a team in 2 years that's got 100 points every year and then won four cups in the early 80s. It was a very tough time to be a Ranger fan.
You have to understand, too.
You know, I take that back. You're right, because going to school for 4 years and having the Islanders win.
On Long Island?
Yeah.
But, Robbie, I want you to imagine this. Imagine the Islanders, right? and yeah. Rangers are battling for first place every year. I'm not saying the Rangers were always in first place, but they always had a chance to win the division.
Talk to
they
Robbie. I got to step
third.
Out for a second.
What?
Talk to Robbie. I got to step out for 1 second. I'll be right
okay.
back.
No, but, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, now it's like, you know, we're both kind of stink, you know. I mean, you know, we'll never be as bad as the Islanders.
No, the Islanders will always be down in the dust. But I think,
right.
would you agree now that the Devils are our number one rival?
Yes. I think because of yes, I do think they are. Because they're more competitive. Plus, the Devils, Ranger fans love to be the team, the underdog. Wouldn't you say when the Rangers play the Devils, although Lundqvist has a great record against Brodeur straight up, that we kind of feel like we are the underdog against the Devils?
I love being the underdog. I'm a Mets fan. Of course I would like being the underdog.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. I always feel like the Devils are better than us. They have a better organization than us. I would never admit this.
Speaking of the Devils, I totally forgot this. Let me ask you something. If Bettman can reject the Kovalchuk deal, why couldn't he do that with the Redden deal? I'm not kidding. The Redden deal was worse. I know that sounds a little bit weird, but why couldn't he do that with the Redden deal? Or why didn't he, I should say?
Well, what do you mean? Avoid the Redden deal?
Sorry, yeah. I'm back.
I don't know. I don't think it was, 17 years. Kovey got 17 years. That's a little bit crazy, especially with a collective bargaining agreement coming up.
Spacer would do that. 17 years? I'll be out of college, hopefully married by then. Ooh.
17 years. I mean, I can't commit for the next 17 minutes for doing anything. I mean, 17 years, I can't even think it. So, yeah. No, Mandar probably hates the Islanders more than any man I know.
Who does?
Mandar.
Literally, he will yell at Islander fan.
All right, Robbie.
Yeah.
Robbie, listen, I'm going to take some other calls, but I want to put you on hold because I want to bring you back on in just a few minutes. I want your help with something. So can
no
you
problem.
Stay on hold or do you want to call back?
Yeah, I can stay on hold. Yeah, no problem.
All right, stay on hold. I'll be back with you in a little bit.
No problem.
All right. Yes. There we go. See, Robbie's just, you know, he's just young. He doesn't understand, you know, why. He didn't go through what we went through as kids with, you know, with Islanders and Islander fans. So, but now maybe he has a better understanding. All right, let's take another call. 631-493, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
It's Eva, guys. What's going on?
Eva.
Listen, Grouchy Brashear here doesn't want me calling in because I got nothing to say.
Eva.
What's going on?
Grouchy Brashear.
Not much.
Fresh back from Las Vegas. Did you
He's
win or did you lose?
He left. No, we came back with our money. We did good.
Oh, okay.
We did all right.
Don't be haters and say I suck when y'all know I'm quick on the puck. They just said I could be a Ranger. Now you punks treat me like I'm a stranger. Yeah. Oh, what's up?
You guys are sick.
Yeah. Oh, what's up?
Nobody can do that.
So what's going on, Eva?
Nothing. I just called to say hello. I got no hockey stuff to say.
Well, what airline did you take to?
We went with Continental out of Newark.
Ah, okay.
It was nice.
Yeah, usually I take the JetBlue, but this time I'm taking the Southwest and out of Islip. Yeah,
uh-huh.
I'm a little bit concerned about the Southwest. I don't know.
But we've been on there.
Long flight.
5 hours, right?
Yeah, it's five hours.
Yeah, we had fun. Yeah. It went fast.
All I can tell you about Southwest is print your boarding passes early.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because otherwise you get stuck in the last group boarding, and by the time you get on the plane, there's no There's no space on the, you know, the compartments. And, oh, it's pay. You
and
get
you're
a
stuck in the overhead compartment or in the cargo.
You get a crappy seat.
Exactly.
You know, I wanted to ask you a question. You know, on these airlines, you get these people that are comedians, like the what do they call them? The stewardesses, the
flight attendants. Flight attendants.
Nowadays.
The
flight attendant.
Flight attendant, yeah. I gotta get into the 2000s with my language. But the
2000s, get to the 90s.
Oh my God.
How about we start with 1990? We called them stewardesses since it was Pan Am.
Oh man.
What do I know? So anyway,
thank you for flying Eastern Airlines.
They start doing the jokes and stuff. Do you like that? Because I don't want, I don't want them joking around.
No, they don't joke around. I don't know what airline you're flying on, but these
they
are
flight like,
attendants
oh,
serious.
I'm telling you, they're like, Marianne, our Oprah lookalike, is going to show you how to use your emergency vest.
They try and be a little entertaining on Southwest. I flew a Southwest flight once from, I think it was from Phoenix to Vegas, and the flight attendant got on the PA and said that she said something like, "The flight attendants will be around to make sure that your seatbelts are buckled, that your seat backs and trays are in the upright position, and to make sure your purse matches your shoes." And you know, she was doing like a little shtick, but
yeah,
listen, nobody follows directions on the plane. There are a bunch of morons on these planes. They don't even know how to put a seatbelt on. I mean, come on. Put your seats in the upright position and people are still lounging. I wanted to kick them. I'm like, come on, guys.
My thing is you always got that one douchebag that you're rolling, you know, the door's closed on the plane, you're rolling out, and he's still on his phone. And are you going to pick me up? Are you going to pick me up when I get to Vegas? Are you going to pick –
turn it off. All electronic devices should be turned off. Nobody listens. Nobody. There's always somebody in there.
Man, no, that's right, though. You got to have your iPod off with a plane crash. Just give me a fucking break.
No.
Don't listen to that iPod.
Oh!
Oh! Oh, Lord, sorry about that.
Crazy. You're all fired up.
You know, I don't like it when you're boarding, like you're ready to get on, and they're like, sections 1 through 31, and then somebody from section like 400 runs. They don't hear anything.
They don't hear anything. They're just clueless.
So, I'm leaving Sunday. But that was good.
Yeah. Have a good trip. Enjoy. And we'll talk
to
you back. We're going to do some lunch, all right?
Okay.
All right. It's on Brashear, though. Brashear's paying the bill.
He's got that Hartford money.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why he's all grouchy, because he's packing for Hartford.
All right, take care, Eva.
All right, guys, have a good night. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
That was her first phone call into the show, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Eva. See, now if she calls more often, I'll get that sound effect from the movie WALL-E.
Yeah. I say Eva. Anyway.
All right, let's take another call. 516-754, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
What's up, boys? It's Rock. How you doing?
Hey, Rock, I see you're trying to bait me in the...
You can't blame me for trying, right?
So what's going on?
Nada. Just wanted to touch on thing a little bit. And if you guys heard about the silly, ridiculous Marion Gabrick to L.A., trade rumors, if you've heard of either of those today.
Yeah, I heard the Gabrick. I don't know where that came from. Didn't that come from one of the most hated sources that we hate?
It came from him, and then it came from somebody else on Twitter. And I just thought that was really funny.
Give us the scoop. Where does this what went down? What was purported to have gone down?
It was Gabrick to L.A. for this prospect Williams, another prospect to Burt. I can't even pronounce the guy's name, and another prospect. All going to L.A. to get Gabrick's salary off the books so the Rangers can sign Kovalchuk. That's the big rumor right now. I don't know. I honestly don't know. To me, it makes no sense.
If somebody was bored over there.
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw it out there just to have some fun. I'll tell you, I really hope that this whole Kovalchuk thing blows up in the Devils' face. I mean, they knew very well. They knew Monday night going in that deal was going to get rejected, and they had the whole horse and pony show at the that wonderful arena in Newark. Anyway, knowing that that it was going to be rejected. So in my opinion, I think that they did that to make Kovalchuk look bad. So now he has no other choice but to sign in Jersey. And, you know, I just think it's finally, Lamorella finally has egg on his face. After all the years we had to hear about how wonderful the general manager he is. And, you know, it's just finally, as a Ranger fan, I'm so happy to finally see that this guy got some egg on his face. I can't begin to tell you. I mean, I think he'll wind up going there still, but, you know, I'm just happy that for once, you know, the Devils got a little bad publicity. So.
Like trying to buy a Cadillac for a Honda price.
Did you guys also read the thing on the Ranger website, the interview with your boy Cerny?
Yeah, I read it.
With Seda.
Yeah.
I mean, does he, like, change his tune? Every interview, it's something different. I didn't hear them mention they're going to play with young guys once in that article, other than the whole thing with McDonough. You know, he's claiming he's still doing tinkering, yet he's on, you notice nothing's gone down in the last 2 days in Rangerland because he's on a fishing boat with Brian Burke somewhere. I don't know if you guys heard that. He's with Burke on his fishing boat somewhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you won't see anything done, I guess, for a couple of days. Mark Stoll will be twirling in the wind right now.
Well, I read the story on Rangers.com. He said that there's a constant effort to make the team better and improve it. There's a lot we go through during the summer. There's a lot of work involved, and we are not done considering things.
And there's still tinkering to be done before the start of training camp. And I don't know if you guys also read the thing with Demitra, that the Rangers offered him some silly, ridiculous bonus incentive deal, and that the Rangers were dragging their feet.
Yeah. Yeah, with Demitra. Eddie, are you back? Did we lose you there for a
minute? I'm back.
Okay.
I told you. I'm here.
Okay, good.
Let me just say this. Jim Cerny.
Uh-oh.
Works for Madison Square Garden. I mean, he's not going to ask him anything that's any hard hitting. And I don't think Glenn Sather knows what's going on. You're right. He's just going to just give you whatever answer is in his head or, you know, that day. He doesn't know. I still claim you guys give him too much credit. I think he doesn't make any moves. There is some shadowy figure back there. I don't know who it is. But if someone is making the decisions for this guy, and then because he doesn't know what he's talking about. He has no direction. And the fact he's with Brian Burke fishing, maybe Brian Burke could tell him how to be a decent GM, because Brian Burke knows what the hell he's doing. And please, somebody, I wish Slats would have went overboard. That would have been the best news out of that. I mean, I don't wish the guy any ill will, but he's got to get out of there. I mean, he's got to get out of there.
And also, I don't know if you guys also heard say that was trying to convince Kreider to come out of college, and Kreider basically told him, no, I'm not ready.
No.
Really?
So, yeah, that was something I read yesterday. I forgot who co-said. I don't know if Cerny had that, too. I forgot who said it. It was something on Twitter. That I had read, and
I'm glad. Why do these guys got to be rushed? My feeling on it, ROC, is that again, I feel that the Rangers are rushing these young guys because they have no cap space. So get them in here while they're cheap and blah, 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 blah. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but, you know, everybody says, where are they going to play? You know,
yeah.
There's plenty of places to play. I'm sorry. If you think Brandon Prost, his position is in cement, that he's going to be with the Rangers. I mean, the guy played a decent 25 games. But there's a reason this guy hasn't hooked up with anybody else and shined anywhere else. He could stink for the next 20 games.
Yeah.
I mean, Erik Christensen, I'm sorry. I am not. I'm looking at Erik Christensen. I'm saying, why the hell are we sweating over getting him? I mean, that's how bad things have gotten. So, and
I think Seda prides himself and he pats himself on the back when these guys come in and play well, like he did with Roosevelt. When Roosevelt was brought in the year after the lockout, he signed to a one-year deal for $700,000. And he patted himself on the back and said, oh, we found a diamond in the rough, blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. Meanwhile, he signed Billy Niemann in. He signed all these other guys that didn't pan out. But he always seems to throw out there the one guy that does pan out opposed to the 15 guys that don't pan out. And, you know, he always seems to do that. He always seems to – he goes, oh, I picked up Erik Christensen off the scrap heap. Now he's our number one center because basically there's really nobody else.
Have you ever heard of the number one center as the number one center by default?
Yeah.
Does this really happen with any other team?
No.
Phoenix Ranger has just stepped into the Paulie D realm and said Erik Christensen is going to have over 30 goals. My first question is, what league will that be in? And my second question is,
how many seasons?
What in there? How many seasons will he do it?
Well, he's here for 2 years, so we'll see.
Oh,
and I'll tell you, every other team in this Eastern Conference is getting better, and it's getting scary. I mean, Tampa Bay gets Simone Gagné. Tampa Bay, it's him, to go along with that whole offensive juggernaut. They're putting together down there with San Luis and Stamkos. And we're signing another scrub defenseman from Anaheim. Is Anaheim the only team we're going to make trades with this offseason?
Anaheim's the new Phoenix.
It seems
that
way. I think a couple of cigars were involved in that trade between Bob Murray and Saver.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I think Murray's on that fishing trip too with them. I think I read that also.
They
three-way trade going on.
You know, you brought up Gagné, and Ace of Spades just mentioned it in the chat room. They really stole Gagné. I mean, I don't know if if the Rangers ever had any talks with Philly, or if, you know, maybe Philly didn't want to trade him in the division. That's certainly possible, but boy, I think he was worth the risk for 1 year at $5.5 million. He was worth the
doubt.
Newman says 70 points for Christensen this season.
Hey, listen, I'll take it. If he does it, I'll take it.
And by the way, he has a girlfriend.
Oh, congratulations. That's awesome.
I don't know. This Erik Christensen stuff reminds me of the great Paulie D, who we love and admire. Well, not so much admire, but he made the statement telling me that Brandon Dubinsky would be the next Cam Neely.
Oh, jeez. So,
I'm not even sure he's going to be the next Cam Barker. No, Cam Neely.
Cam Connor.
Cam Connor. I mean, give me a... So.
Paulie D is on record. On record, he'd have... Newman, relax, Newman. I'm just giving you shit.
Yeah, we love.
Paulie D said on this show back in, I don't know, October or November, he said Brandon Dubinsky will be a 50-goal scorer. Right, Eddie?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Right? Did he not say that?
It's a bunch of garbage.
By what day? By what age will he score 50 goals?
I'm just telling you. He said
we got 50 from Dubinsky. We got 30 from Christensen. You figure 40 from Gaborik. We should have a pretty good season this year.
You know, you guarantee at least 13 from Chris Drury. So,
yeah,
in the right direction.
And
unbelievable.
So I hope. Listen,
I hope to see some progress for some guys. I like to see Dubinsky and Callahan take it to the next level with some goals. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, really, you think about it. I mean, a lot of Ranger fans have not penciled in the Frodo from Moto, Matt Zuccarello, Austin, whatever they're calling him.
He's going to score 80 goals.
I think he's going to make the team. I think he's like the Gilroy from last year that they've paid him some money. They're going to hype him really big early. And if he plays halfway decently, he's making the team.
He's probably going to light it up in preseason. I can almost guarantee, I can see it now. He's going to light it up in preseason, you know, against guys that are going to be bagging groceries in 2 weeks. And he's going to make the team, and he's going to go up to this fast start. He might pop in a couple of goals in the beginning. They're going to anoint him like they anointed Peter Pruka, you know, the next big thing. And he's going to, you know, he's going to get slammed into the boards, you know, get hurt. And it's going to be the end of him.
Wow.
I don't want to go that far.
Yeah, I know. But, hey, listen, I think you're right about the, you know, I already can see Sam and Joe totally, you know, splooging in their pants over this guy. Look at him! He's an international star! You're right, Sam. He's got game. He's small, but he's got game. The range of coaches love what they see from him. I can see all the hype right now. And
look
then,
at the legs on this kid.
Look at the size on him. when they go with that homoerotic stuff that I really just can't, it makes me very uncomfortable watching the show. Look at him. Look at his, remember Dave Troutwick last year, Jim? Look at a six-pack on Ovechkin.
Yeah.
What was going on with that? We saw him in the locker room earlier. What a six-pack. He built. I'm like, shut this balls. Get me out of here.
Who's going to score more goals, Nick Yerdev or Eric Christensen?
Eric Christensen.
Goals?
I can see Yerdev scoring 30 goals next year. I hate to say it, but that Philly team is low. I don't understand what Holmgren was thinking. Trading away Gagne. I know Gagne gets hurt, but why would you give away Gagne, who's at least, you know, he's a proven guy for an enigma, and to put Yerdev into that locker room? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like every year he has like a reclamation project. Last year it was, you know, Emery, and now this year it's Yerdev. I don't know. I think it
pulls up in their face. No, I think I'm with you on that. What is it? Only a 1 year deal, so you know. But I think you're right. I think he is a good addition, and you know, he's not a good addition to the Rangers, obviously, because history with Tortorella is shot. I mean, Tortorella hates him. But the only problem with the Flyers is I hope they may be going a little too Euro, because they got Liano, who had a great playoff, and he's going to step up. And who knows? You're right, though. I don't want to be too anti-Euro here, but they may actually find some goal scoring, more goal scoring, which is scary. And we really haven't improved anywhere. We really haven't. You know.
No, you brought the same exact team. Like I said last week, you brought back the same exact team from last year. And I even think you regressed, because I think Shelly is going to be better than Bugard. The only thing you've improved is your backup goaltending situation, which might turn out to be the best thing they might have done. But the team is – and maybe not having Reddit on the team, addition by subtraction, might – be better anyway, just not having him in the lineup.
I think they've got it in their heads that they're going to get better production out of Callahan, better production out of Dubinsky, more production out of Avery, and Anisimov will give them more this year, and I think that's what they're thinking, and that's why they haven't done anything. I wouldn't even necessarily say that's you know, the wrong line of thinking. Is it reasonable to expect Ryan Callahan could give him more than 19 goals this year? I think we expect
I don't know.
We expect
these guys are playing for contracts
more than that out of him. right?
Yeah, yeah, these guys are playing for contracts, too. So,
and
you know,
I mean,
they better put up some numbers.
You know, Sean Avery, I mean, you know.
He's got to wake up. He's got to wake up, Jim.
He's got to play every night like he's playing like he plays against the Flyers. Every night. He's got to play like
or the Dallas Stars.
Or the Dallas
Stars. Let me tell you,
yeah.
He's off Twitter now. Now, I don't know what that means. If that has any kind of meaning whatsoever, who knows? We read into all this stuff.
The Rangers actually released a statement saying that they had nothing to do with Avery taking his name off Twitter.
And that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Sorry.
That the Rangers wasted time putting out a press release saying that they had nothing to do with that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Again.
We got nothing better to do? They got nothing better
to
do with the Kremlin?
The Kremlin's got nothing better to do to put out a press release that we had nothing to do with Avery? But it's so paranoid, people could say, oh, Avery's so outspoken, but the Rangers muzzled him. You know what? Sean Avery is not getting the pass from me this year. Last year I gave him a pass because I loved the guy, and it was all about Avery and his record with the Rangers when he's in the lineup. Dude, we all got to be honest with this. Let's be brutally honest. He coasted. He did not come to play a lot. He didn't score. He scored in like three games. He did not have a good
three
season.
Games.
He's got to wake up. He means so much to the team.
Yeah, I mean, I expected a lot more from him last year. And, you know, he kind of, you know, everybody talked about, oh, well, you know, Torts is handcuffing him. Well, you know, I still think he's capable of, whether he's handcuffed or not, you talk about he's handcuffed, that's just from his instigating standpoint. But he's got Torts didn't handcuff him to 11 goals. You know what I mean? It wasn't, you know,
right.
It's not Torts handcuffing that forced him to score 11 goals in what, five games? I mean, how many goals did he actually score a game in? Five?
Yeah, three goal games that I could think of.
Here, I'm looking at his game log right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games he scored a goal in last year.
That's terrible.
He plays the second and third. He's got to score more than that. And you know, like Eddie said, he kind of got a pass last year. But
he got a pass because we love him. We love
right,
him.
Right. We love him because he's a prick. Because he's a prick.
Yeah,
and
he dates
the hot women. You know, he speaks his mind. He's funny. But you know what? That only goes so far. This year, I think he's got to produce.
Especially when he
saw him. I'm sorry, Eddie.
Go ahead.
Too many
go
times
ahead.
You saw him. I saw him. You watch the games on TV. You see him stand at the end of the bench, and he's like gazing off into space. He looks totally disinterested. He looks like he doesn't want to be there. He cares more about his bar on Warren Street. And like I said, I agree with you. I love that they brought him back. I love the fact that they got him for the price that they wanted to get him at. He helped them get into the playoffs in 2009, but he looks disinterested. I don't know if that has to do with Tortorella. I don't know. Maybe, you know.
He's got to be better than that.
He's overrated.
He's
overrated, I think, more than anything.
Awful.
That's the nature of the beast to play in New York. I think it's just he's overrated.
I don't think he's overrated. I think he's overrated on the talent side. I don't think you're ever going to get 20 goals from the guy. But what he brings to a team, we've seen it, guys, the energy. The, oh, my God, this is a game I want to watch. The entertainment value alone. And the fact it gets everybody in the building buzzed. Charge the Rangers get up to another level. They're not sleepwalking through another game, and this is what he's got to bring. And if he's got a problem with Tortellini, then he's just got to say, "Listen, I'm doing this for the fans. I mean, I got to just go out there, play my game, and you know what? Last year he played. Okay, he followed the." Say he told the line as far as Tortorella go. Well, what did he do? Did he gain any respect or did he gain any more favor with the Rangers fans the way he played last year? No. He should just go out there and play for the fans and himself and play his game. He looked like, you're exactly right. I don't know if it was his bar, but he did look very disinterested out there.
Too much off-ice stuff with him, I think.
Well, maybe now that his boy Boros is gone, maybe that'll help him out a little bit.
It might hurt him
on the game.
Could go
be
the
any
other
worse,
way, though.
Right? Yeah, couldn't be any worse.
So. All right, Rock.
All right, boys.
We'll talk to you.
All right, take care, my friend.
We'll talk
to you
soon.
Next week. You got
right.
it, guys. Have a good night.
Later. All right. Later. Yeah, real quick, why don't we do this really quick before we take some more phone calls while we got a big crowd here in the middle. Next week, since Eddie is traveling to Las Vegas and to find the Islanders a home, no show next week. Next Wednesday night, Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Blue Shirt Banner Radio will take the week off. Next Friday night from 10 to 12, I will be borrowing Eddie's time slot that he usually does for Killing Time Theater. I'm going to do my own little thing on next Friday night. Jim's call it Radio Nowhere. I don't know. So maybe you could join me for that, and hopefully, and if not, and then we'll see you guys in 2 weeks from 2 weeks from tonight. And let's face it, guys, we could probably all use a break, and then hopefully by the time we come back in 2 weeks, there'll be stuff to talk about. Now, the one thing I will tell you is that if something major happens, and I'm not talking about trading Thomas Gaborski or whatever the hell his name was for McMillan and wife from Anaheim. I'm talking if something big goes down with the Rangers, we'll throw together an impromptu show so we can talk about it. And if Eddie's not around, then we'll figure something out. But Jim will never replace Eddie. I'm not trying to replace Eddie, Jeff. I'm just borrowing his time slot.
No, just let him do what he wants. Hey, what do you guys give him a hard time? Just let him do what he wants. He wants to do something.
Anyway. I know. They're very, very tough on me.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Well, you're the brightest star, and I'm.
Oh, get out of here!
I just can't. You know, the demure type. Yes, I'm very quiet and reserved. You know, my boss at work, he tells me I'm shy, and I don't. You know, he tells me that all the time. He says you're too quiet. You're shy. You know, he doesn't know that we do this at night, and you know what our what my outside interests are. I just don't talk to him very much. That's really what it comes down to. But anyway,
Well, I wanted to say that, you know, sometimes I always think of you as the straight man, but you really aren't, because you make me laugh like a lot. But I guess, I mean, I don't want to say straight man, because you know these people are going to jump all over this straight man. But anyway. I think you are a comedic genius, and you pick your spots when you're, you want to be extroverted. Not everybody walks around like me and just acts like an idiot.
Oh, you should.
Now,
I have my moments where I act like an idiot, trust me.
All right. They want me to do this roll call. You want to get this out of the way, so proceed. Unless you got something scheduled.
No, go ahead. Do the roll call. Go ahead, so that we don't hear it again. Go ahead and go for it. Let me cue up.
So we don't hear it again. Well, how about my lovely intro?
I'm looking for it. I got friggin' emails last week. How come there was no roll call last night? What happened? All right, here we go.
That was a great...
Mr. Mouth.
It's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tomy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
Ace of Spades, ladies and gentlemen, this reminds me of a quote that I made last week, pertaining to Henrik Lundqvist. There are a lot of jacks in the NHL, but there's only one king, and that is King Henrik Lundqvist, Ace of Spades, keeping it real in the field. with his heavy metal persona. Andrew from South Florida. Andrew, just recently completed a great card trick, a trading card project, rather. He has every Ranger player's card from 1994, different years, of course, not all from 1994, autographed. So that was his project. He's a Ranger fan of extraordinary magnitude. Avery Rules, also known as Rock'em Sock'em Donald Brajol, who will call in and rap to you. He'll rap. He can be seen on Yo MTV Ranger Raps with Fab Five Freddy. That's Avery Rules, a.k.a. Claude. And then there's Claude. Like Maud, you get. And then there's Claude. All right. Then there's Blue Seat Blas. That's right. That's Dave. Well, Dave is on top of things. He's got a great blog over there. Holy Manoli, Canoli, Stromboli, Christian Poli. It's one of the most fantastic blogs, and he's always got good insight. And always kind of calm when he's not drunk. Cucci Lolly, also known as Christopher. He's been kicked upstairs. He re-upped his Ranger season tickets this year. He's gone from the 200s to where the commoners now sit, in the 300s, the lowly green seats. Oh, I wish I had season tickets. But I got to tell you one thing, Cucci Wally, we salute you. You're a dedicated Ranger fan. Anyone that pays money to watch the Rangers for 41 games a year is indeed a nut job. Speaking of nut jobs and maniacs and men who should be locked up in rubber rooms, it's Coast of the Crazy Greek. That's right. This man has no comedy bounds. He will use anything to make people laugh, and I admire that in a person. Because, listen, if it's not funny and it's not fun, I'm not going to be into it. Coast of the Crazy Greek follows the same credo, and that's why he's been unemployed for a year. And then we have Cutter, the Maple Leaf. Now, let me tell you something, Cutter. Cutter believes he's been banned from Facebook. I don't think he can get banned from Facebook. If so, some of the people in this chat room would have been banned from Facebook. But Cutter is working on a new Ranger Toronto schedule. I don't know what he's doing. He's IMing me while we speak. When I get the details, Jeff will let me know. Jeff is also on Leaf Crisis. Check it out. It's quite fun. And then there's Frosty. You know, I was thinking about people that in the chat room that I actually would want to hang out with, and he wasn't one of them. Frosty, we love you, Anthony. You're one of the best, and always an all-time great Ranger bastard. Irish Puck, 93. Wow, 1993. When I think of 1993, I think of the year before Mike Keenan came to this team. Before the year before the Rangers rode bicycles after every game that got them to the Stanley Cup. I love the Irish. I love Puck. Irish Puck, 93, I love you. And then, yeah, 68, Eva. Calling in and telling us about her plane antics. And I can't wait for this season to start to see what Eva has to say. And Eva and actually Claude have started their own Facebook group called Long Island Ranger Fans United. Check it out. It's full of hot chicks and hot men. Check it out. Jay of the Dead. That's right, Jay, one of the all-time great Ranger fans, is always one of a dedicated listener, a dedicated Ranger fan, and a dedicated visitor of Sonic. Speaking of which, big announcement for you Long Island people. There are 5 Sonics coming to Long Island. One is going to be in Smithtown, so even closer to me. For you people who don't like Sonic, go screw yourselves. Jolton Joe Micheletti, who's been talking to me through IMs about Sean Avery. He's a big Sean Avery defender. He protects Sean Avery. He thinks that Sean Avery is being persecuted by the referees. He is, but still, Sean Avery must play his game. Down there from Australia, he's an Aussie. He's from a country that was a former prison island. You know what? He's a prisoner trying to break free. He's a prisoner because no one in Australia follows hockey. He wants to come to America, the American dream, Dusty Rhodes. He wants to come to America so he can be with his girlfriend and watch hockey and meet me and Jim in person, which really isn't a big deal. And then there's John Newman. John Newman, who recently, it's all over the world, as a matter of fact. I saw a billboard the other night said that John Newman has a girlfriend. And that was great. John Newman, we love you. I'm glad that you found somebody. Behind every good man, there's a better woman, as far as I'm concerned. And I hope it all goes well. And then Critical. You know, he's quite verbose. He's quite loud. I don't understand why he comes on this show and why he's here. He's a loudmouth of epic proportions, and well, we love him. Critical, you are one class act. LeBron blows. LeBron does blow. Everybody hates him. Everybody hates him. New York hates him. Cleveland hates him. The only people who like him is in Miami now. So, LeBron, you do indeed blow. Manda, the great Manda, who hates the Islanders more than anything. He will actually make fun of an Islander fan to his face if he's wearing an Islander shirt. Manda, who hates the Nassau Coliseum so much, he will never go in there. Manda, who also will not, although for his love of cupcakes is very big, will never eat an Islander cupcake. I know that for sure. New York Ranger, 1994. Let me tell you, 1994 is... so long ago. My God. I only wanted one, but, you know, I lied. I want more than one. New York Ranger 1994, I salute you. And Phoenix Ranger, who is on some kind of psychotropic drugs of an unknown origin, has...
The peyote in Arizona.
The peyote in Arizona is cooking. It's raging in his brain. Because he has predicted Eric Christensen will get 70 points. I hope you're right, Phoenix Ranger. You can come back here and say, hey, listen, fat boy, I was right. You are wrong. Quick release. Oh, the chef. Oh, you like that in the creme brulee? That's right. Quick release. The French chef from Vermont likes to speak French. He doesn't like to speak French. I don't even know if he knows how to speak French.
I got a clip for him if you want it.
Oh, yeah, let's play Phoenix. Yep. All right, let's go.
Hey, Borscht, dear, dirty, your mort, mort, mort.
Mort, mort, mort. Ryan, mort, 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 mort.
Now we're going to make a chocolate moussey. Here, moussey, moussey, moussey. Okay, sorry.
Okay, and then there's Ricky O. I know one thing. Ricky O knows the tough guys, the fighters like nobody else. Don't even come to me with anybody else who thinks they're an expert. Ricky O knows everything about the fight aspect of the game. He loves the Eric Bogaerts song. He can't wait to see the boogeyman start dismantling humans on the ice. That's what he loves to see, Ricky O. He also is the one I was talking about that ripped the Billy Smith toupee. ROCK in the USA, 1193 ROC. We love you, buddy. You were on the air with me and Jim talking about all this stuff. And once again, you're an informative caller. You know what you're talking about. I have no idea why you're here because we usually get those. And then there's TV Hassler, another guy who's been around a long time. Him and Walker, New York Ranger, two longtime listeners. And then Wazili, it's a triumvirate of total Blue Shirt Banner Radio Dedicatiados. Dedicatiados? I don't know what that means. They're dedicated to their Ranger Radio, and we love you guys. All three of you are goddamn, I don't know, you're saints in my book. That includes the Ranger Rapid Fire Radio, Blue Shirt Banner, Hippo Holler Bounce Call, Roundup, whatever you have you for today. The beautiful day of Wednesday, July 21st, 2010. I love you all, you sons of bitches, bastards.
Nicely done. All right, let's talk about the. You mentioned it briefly during the roll call. The New York Islanders have found a new way to. Well, provide us with comedy, I guess you could say. Amy Brady, the owner of Cupcake Gourmet in Huntington Village, makes a funfetti cupcake desired by most of the children that walk through Brady's bakery doors. With the most unique and colorful frosting swirled together in rainbow fashion, this cupcake is one of her best sellers. The highly sought-after cupcake is now making its way to the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum as Brady has become the newest sponsor to form an agreement with the New York Islanders. So how did this crazy, delicious partnership take place? I was at a game, and I was trying to find a concession to eat, said Brady. I was thinking to myself, what do I want? What do I want? How great would it be to have a cupcake right now? At that moment, Brady understood she was destined to begin a new business venture. Armed with a cupcake cart, Brady and her staff will begin selling the orange and blue tie-dyed frosted cupcakes at all Islander home games. I like the fact that we're a young team, maturing as a team. It's a fun thing. It's an exciting thing, Brady said. A longtime fan of the Islanders, Brady is extremely excited to start selling her cupcakes, but she knows baking the right amount of cupcakes will be challenging in the beginning. At the beginning, I think it will be a lot of baking too many cupcakes and donating the excess to the Ronald McDonald House down the street from the Coliseum.
They got enough clowns in that Coliseum. Why the Ronald McDonald?
First of all, Amy, I don't know anything about baking cupcakes other than you get the mix out of the box, you throw the eggs in the milk, and you put them in the oven, okay? Baking 15 cupcakes ought to cover any Islander home game.
A baker's dozen.
All the cupcakes that we make here, like the candy bar ones, are unique, Brady said. For example, the Snickers cupcake, we take a chocolate cupcake, we chop up Snickers, and we bake it inside. That was my idea. We decided we wanted to make a cannoli cupcake. So we asked, how do we translate a cannoli to a cupcake? We made a chocolate chip cupcake. We hollowed out the inside. We put cannoli cream inside it and then decorated the outside with frosting and sprinkles. That's called Hostess, Amy. They did the same goddamn thing 50 years ago. They put cream in a cupcake. Don't make yourself out to be the Jonas Salk of cupcakes, woman. Every week we come up with more ideas. Now we ask people for suggestions. But in the beginning, it was all just my idea. But even a pioneer like Brady has her go-to cupcake when she's in need of a sugar fix. Without a doubt, without hesitation, red velvet is my favorite. It's a cocoa cupcake. It has vanilla cream cheese frosting. I will choose that every single time I have to choose a cupcake. But with these new Islander cupcakes coming to the Coliseum, they're a close second. Ladies and gentlemen, the New York Islander cupcakes.
Can you hear it now?
All right.
Let's go cupcakes.
We want cupcakes. All the Islanders have done is they have successfully put to bed the We Want Fish Sticks chant at Madison Square Garden. Okay? That's all they've done because now there's a new chant. But here's what I want to see. Picture it. October 2010. The crowd, all 4,000 of them at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Hempstead, Long Island, or Farmingdale, or Uniondale, or wherever the hell it is. 4,000 strong there, and they've all got their cupcakes in their hand, and the lights dim, the PA announcer says, "Ladies and gentlemen, your 2010 New York Islanders!" And as the Islanders take the ice, they hear this.
You're my honey bun sugar plum, pumpkin. You're my sweetie pie. You're my cupcake gumdrop, snickum spickum. You're the apple of my eye. And I...
Put it again! But do the intro, the 2010 New York Islanders.
Wait a minute. Hold on. The lights dim, and you hear the. You know, I wish I had the intro from what the hell is that? The Van Halen song. Right now, Van Halen. You know the piano.
Ladies and gentlemen, your 2010 New York Islanders!
You're my honey bun sugar plum, pumpy umby umpkin. You're my sweetie pie. You're my cupcake gumdrop, snickle bookum. You're the apple of my eye.
My cuppy cake.
My cuppy cake.
Oh, man.
How embarrassing. Really, come on. I mean, you know, they just come up ways to embarrass those fans. How are they going to... You got to sell cupcakes to save the franchise. I mean, really, come on. They're having a bake sale to save that team. I mean, it's a joke. I mean... If you're playing for the team, I mean, it's just, these cupcakes are just unbelievable.
Come for the lousy hockey, stay for the cupcakes.
Oh, that was good. That's a good bit. I didn't hear that. That one you did, you didn't preview that to me, so I heard that. That was funny. Oh, man. Oh, God. D.B. Naiman's putting crazy imagery into this. Say the Irish girls have pigtails and taffeta dresses, handing cuppy cakes out there.
You're my sugar plum pumpkin.
You're my honey bun sugar plum, pumpy umby umpkin. You're my sweetie pie. You're my cupcake gumdrop, snickle-bookum, you're the apple of my eye, and I love you so.
Anyway. Ricky O said Bossy fills each cupcake personally.
Or maybe Trottier. He needs
Trottier, maybe that's his new job. Maybe he's the cream filling guy.
It's funny because you know who's singing that song? Matt Zuccarello Olsen. That's his voice. So that's, that was some stuff. Yeah, I just think it's embarrassing for the fans. I mean, not that I care about them. But they had to deal with the fish sticks and the whole thing. Now they got this cupcakes thing and him trying to reinvent the playoffs last year. And it's just one ridiculous thing after another. At least the Rangers don't screw. I mean, they screw up everything on the ice. And, you know, they don't promotionally. They're usually pretty classy, usually, you know, when they do something. But. And you were telling me that the Island blogger that you know, he got more access to this cupcake store than they got any access to any other Islander store. For some reason, they're very proud of this cupcake.
Oh, it's huge. It's really going to – yeah, this is the – they've reached the turning point. Ricky O said Trottier wrote a bad check for cupcakes. Totally. We're getting great comments in the chat room. Quick release.
Yeah, these guys are fun. I mean,
DiPietro makes those cupcakes in the back.
He mentioned the cupcake condos.
The Lighthouse Project. Wait.
The Toll House Project, they should call it, maybe. Or, I don't know. So, anyway.
You hear Howie Rose. Tavares takes the pass from Okposo. He shoots. Oh, cupcakes are done. I gotta go. Somebody check the easy bake.
Easy bake oven. Yeah, Ricky's right. It was the old days at the Garden, or when we go to the Coliseum, we throw cupcakes all over the freaking ice.
So
nowadays,
you know, between the Flyers with the he scores a goal for Tasty Cakes, and the Islanders now with the cupcakes, what the hell's going on with the NHL? You know, it's the wussification of the NHL here.
Yeah, we've gone cupcakey. Hey, listen, I think
Would you stop with that noise? Because they keep eating the cupcakes already. I think after I did my draft video last year, that this is a point to get me back in there so they can beat me down by offering me cupcakes. Right? It should be Ranger Ringsing. Night.
I think what would make a great video is you go to about 5 bakeries on Long Island and videotape. You got any Islander cupcakes? Where can I get some Islander cupcakes?
Oh, God. No. Will you stop with that?
All right. Let's get back to the phones. Ricky, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
I just bought my tickets to S'mores Night at the Rock.
S'mores Night at the Rock.
Now, Ricky, you're an Islander hater from way back, right?
Absolutely.
So you can understand what we were trying to explain to Robbie before, right?
Yeah. Well, this is like something that, you know, we've been talking about since the day I met you guys on the show. This is the wussification of the NHL from Gary Bettman. There's no rivalries. These kids, what did he say? He was 16?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what it is to hate. He didn't see Tommy Salo getting his ass kicked by Cloutier. He doesn't remember Darren Langdon and Zdeno Chara going at it. He doesn't remember, you know, Fatiu and Billy Smith or Gary Howard and Eddie Johnstone. He doesn't remember Billy Smith breaking people's ankles with hacks in front of the net. The rivalry's gone, guys. Nobody cares anymore. I mean, Ranger Islander game now is like, who cares? It's like watching the Mets play the Diamondbacks. It's the same exact rivalry. No, there's no hatred, and that's what Bettman wanted. He's made this like the completely bland, everyone wear gray NHL, and these kids are paying for it because growing up as a kid, Mouse, you said it. Those guys waited for you at school to tease you about the Rangers. Let me tell you something. I'm not even kidding. I'll tell you the kid's name. His name was Jeff Mendelson. He's a meteorologist on Comcast Cablevision Cable now. He's on
every News
night.
12, yeah.
I ran that son of a bitch. We played street hockey every single day. He came down one day wearing a John Tonelli jersey, and he's a little guy. He's like 5'5". And I remember just beating his ass so I could rip the jersey off his back and cost him $100. That's how much I hated the New York Islanders. Every year, Cardi Sugar Bowl in Lodi, New Jersey, is a candy store. It's been there 80 years. Every year the Rangers play the Islanders in the playoffs, he went to his roof. He had a mannequin. He dressed it as Billy Smith, and he hung it from the roof. And I can't tell you how many times the police were called because they said somebody committed suicide at the candy store. We hated the New York Islanders with a passion, and that made me a passionate hockey fan. I hated the Islanders. I wouldn't talk to an Islander fan. I didn't want to be around those people. And nowadays we sit hand in hand and we share cupcakes and s'mores because of Gary Bettman.
Well, you have – I know you're laughing at the chat room, but I'm going to address the call because I'm a professional. And right now you're not.
Well, I just thought of something funny. Maybe.
Well, because I – well, go ahead.
Well, maybe the Easy Bake Oven at the Nassau Coliseum would be more like this.
Honorable cupcakes ready, Mr. Wangathon.
Are your cupcakes all ready, Mr. Tavares?
You know he's going to wholesale them damn things out to China to be made in bulk.
All right, now.
All right, I want to get a...
Let me address the caller's question.
Go ahead.
Yes, this league has been wussified totally by Bettman. We all know that. He is terrible. He's made this game bland, generic, boring, vanilla. We all know that. But I believe if the Rangers and Islanders were actually good, there would be a rivalry. Would it be like it was? Ricky, we know. That's a day gone by we're never going to see again. Even if they brought a new commissioner in here, even if they made Nick Fatigue the commissioner, we wouldn't see that. It's a day that we will never see, but hopefully we can achieve at least a rivalry. Well, I think you'll agree with me. You'd like to see them play them each team more, first of all. I don't care if I even see a team out west. Who cares?
I would love to see them play 8 to 10 times again inside the division. Absolutely.
And more home and homes.
Right. More home and homes. I mean, there are things you can do, but if the Rangers and Allen were good, there would be a lot more rivalry. But right now, the Ranger fans so outnumber the Islander fans now, and the Ranger fans are diehard loyal fans, and the Islander fans, they're just not. History has proven they're not diehard, they're not loyal.
Well, Mel,
would you agree?
I think the Ranger Devil rivalry surpassed the Ranger Islander rivalry right now because of the last 5 or 6 years of the playoff series.
I think Devil fans are very loyal to their team. And they don't they're not jumping ship now. Granted, they've been winning I forgot my train of thought. I was thinking about the Devils. I just think because they've won more in recent years, but still, even that, I do find even though they have trouble selling out, their core base is very loyal. The Islander fan kind of. You know, the older guys, the guys our age, they're gone. They're not even following the Islanders anymore. Mostly you have a bunch of young kids and, people in their 20s, late 20s are just, it's close to, local. They're local. So as much as you want to hate Devil fans, they're pretty loyal when I have to give them their props on that. So that's my stance on that.
Mal, one quick thing, too, I wanted to bring up. I know you and I, and I think, Jimmy, you love old-time tough hockey, too. Anybody who's not paying attention in the East this year is crazy. The NHL, maybe, we're going to have a little bit more tough hockey this year. Philadelphia loading up for Bear. Even the trade for Gagne picked up a very tough physical defenseman and a good fighter. The Islanders tonight signed Jeremy Yablonsky, who is probably the closest player in the history of the NHL to actually be Oglethorpe from the movie Slapshot. The guy can't skate, can't pass, takes two shifts a night in the AHL, and both of them are a super long, tremendous fight. This guy's got MMA experience. He's fighting inside the cage right now. He's an absolute, complete Oglethorpe. And they signed him, and you ready for this? He will see action in the NHL this year against the Rangers and the Flyers, is how they put it out in the release. So anybody who doesn't like the Bouguard signing is out of their mind, because the Islanders picked up Trevor Gillies, Konecopia out of Tampa Bay, who led the league in majors last year, and now they just picked up an absolute pro wrestler. And you know what? We don't have a big team. So anybody who doesn't respect the fact that Sather was counteractive and went out and got Bouguard, proactive and got Bouguard after we lost Shelley, is out of their mind. Because the East is a huge division right now, and everyone's dressing at least one heavyweight.
Ricky was Yablonsky. Was he the guy that you asked? Dale Weiss or Dane Byers about if he'd fought him or something?
John Morasky. That's his cousin.
Oh, okay.
His cousin John Morasky. Yablonsky's the guy who wears a mohawk. Also, he's built like a pit bull dog. There's no doubt in my mind the guy's on human growth hormone, and I don't want to say how I know that, but let's just say the guy will never pass the – if the NHL has a legitimate steroid testing policy, he will never pass it. He's about 5'9", 5'10". He's about 5 foot wide. He fought in the Outdoor Classic this year against his cousin John Morasty in the AHL game. They staged it center ice, boom, first face off, dropped the gloves, and just beat the hell out of each other for about 2 minutes. Even I'm a big hockey fan, and I love the fights. This is a guy that obviously the NHL is looking to eliminate, but yet somebody signed him. And for the Rangers, for any Ranger fan to say, oh, Dale Weiss and Dane Byers are going to be fourth-line tough guys, they're not going to beat the Goddards of the division. They're not going to beat the Carcillos. They're not going to beat the Jody Shelleys, the Matt Walkers. They're not going to beat the Konecopas. We needed to go out and get a bullet to put in the gun, and Sather did it. And I hope that somebody appreciates that fact.
All right. Listen, only time will tell. But you can't have it both ways as far as I'm concerned. You're telling me there's going to be an NHL where we're going to have fights and it's going to be big, but then on one hand you're telling me it's all wussified. Which is it?
Maybe we're going to see something this year. Maybe, teams are saying, I said the East. It doesn't mean that teams out west. Look at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay shredded every ounce of toughness they have. Tampa Bay became Detroit overnight. Steve Yzerman went down there and got rid of anybody that has a penis. And it's playing a bunch of Europeans down there now. Okay, so Europe, Detroit, Detroit is still got no one. You've got a lot of teams in the NHL that aren't carrying a heavyweight. But what I'm saying is, look at the teams around us in Philadelphia. In New Jersey, you got LeBlanc and you got Clarkson, and you got these guys that are all dropped the gloves. And the Islanders have nothing to play for. They're going to be a last-place team unless we fall to last place. And they're going to beat you up. So guys like Gabrick and these kids that we're bringing up that need to develop, do you want to see Delzato getting run through the boards with a guy like Yablonsky, or do you want to see Yablonsky out there and against Bugard? I'd rather see a stage fight between those two guys than see somebody like Delzato or Staal get their head taken off like we saw the last time the Rangers didn't have a heavyweight in the lineup, and Yager got his head taken off by Fridge. Fedoric in the Garden against Philadelphia, and Dolan said, "We'll never see one of my teams without a heavyweight again."
Well, listen, we're going to see what happens. I'd like to see a return back to that, and maybe Swats will be commended for locking up a goon for 4 years after this. My problem with the guy is just so one-dimensional. I know you're going to say, well, you want the biggest. It's kind of like when J.D. said about DeBrusque, Louis DeBrusque. He said when you're the king ape, all the other monkeys leave you alone. He actually said that on the air, which I thought was kind of weird. But, I guess if you got Bugard, the scariest guy out there, but the guy plays 4 minutes a game. I hope when it does come down to war, we got the guy, all right? But why 4 years in the money, I don't know.
I've agreed with you on that contract since day one, Mouth. I don't want you to think I think that was a good contract. I absolutely do not think it was a good contract. It's definitely, like I said to you the first second it happened, I tweeted to you, 2 years, anything more than 2 years on a goon is a waste.
Right.
Every 2 years, they're outdated. It's like buying a VCR or a DVD player. Every 2 years, the technology is gone, 2 years from now, there's going to be five guys in this league that are twice as tough as Bugard.
Right. No, I agree with you. I'm torn. I'm in a transition period as far as hockey goes. I have to accept that things are not the way they used to be. But it's going to be tough. Like you said, if these other teams have loaded to bear and, they start taking advantage of the Rangers, we've seen it before. You got to have somebody.
I don't want to see Callahan or Dubinsky fighting a heavyweight ever on this team. Dubinsky came up, the kid was willing and he was game, and Luke Richardson knocked his block off with one punch against Ottawa in his first NHL fight. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a kid that has skill.
Well,
I personally, I'm going to go on a line. I'm going to say Dubinsky's going to score 25 to 30 goals this year. I think Dubinsky, this is going to be his breakout season. But I don't want that kid getting a broken jaw or broken hand in a fight.
Yeah, he does fight a little bit. He always fights Mike Richards, it seems. They have something going between each other. I guess it's, But I wanted to say I had a comment about, in the history of the Rangers, as far as when did we ever start the stuff?
1981.
How come we don't have, Avery will start and instigate and yap, but when do we have the guy that punches the other guy first? When do we have a guy to go
like
to Gabber?
Since Roger Nielsen, Mouth.
When is that going to happen? You want to have Bugard in reserve. Why isn't – I want a guy that maybe perhaps goes out and does this stuff. Why are we taking the high road or whatever? When was the last time a Ranger suckered someone? Barry Beck, Rick Chartreau? It seems we're always on the receiving end, and then we got to wait a week before we have to get somebody to retaliate. It's kind of annoying, So, I don't know. I would like to see a guy, a more two-way guy, but let's see. If it turns into a war, I guess the boogeyman is well worth the money, I guess.
Well, I think you're going to love Brandon Prust for a full season, too, Mouth. I think this kid – listen, I personally would love to see Avery off this team. I think Avery is a cancer. I've told you that on the air many times. I've said it to you and Jimmy. I've had people tell me in the locker room about Avery going outside, sitting outside, not even listening to Tortorella. Tortorella and him at odds all last year. A couple people have said to me, this guy, it's just a bad element in the locker room. And you know what? I think it's played its course. Last year was a direct result of Sean Avery. The Rangers could have been in the playoffs if Sean Avery was himself for one-fourth of the season. If he would have scored 15 goals, the Rangers make the playoffs last year. And I think Brandon Prust is the new Sean Avery. I really think the kid's going to come into his own. Talking to guys like David Clarkson and Salvador from the Devils, they don't like this kid. They said he's sandpaper to play against. That's what Clarkson called him. He said he's sandpaper.
Wow, I like that. Game,
and he's nasty. And you know what? When's the last time we had guys like him? We had Avery, and you know what? He disappeared.
He's got to wake up. We talked about it earlier. He has to come to play. I can't see him sleepwalking through another season. Well, you know what? Sayonara, Sean. I mean, I love you. I mean, you're one of the greatest players to watch when you're playing. I mean, just the excitement level, because today's hockey is so freaking boring and no personality, that when you have a guy like that, a rogue, so to speak, that goes out there and just, you know, lays himself out there and is just, you know, he's doing an act out there, even when last year, who was it when he fought and he did the fake fighting with his hand there? Who was that? That game? Who was he fighting?
That was Pittsburgh.
I don't know. He did. Yeah, he mocked somebody, and
it was Talbot, wasn't it?
Who was it? Maxime Talbot. Yeah, it might have been Maxime Talbot. Yeah, and stuff like that. I mean, it's a personality of the game that I love. But listen, he's got to bring it. He's got to bring it. So, and Prust, I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Well, listen, I love the show. Keep it up. And I'm sorry there's no show next week. I hope I don't get arrested or in trouble because I'm out being bored. But listen, I just want to, if I can I just say hello to somebody real quick?
Sure.
Sure.
Hey, Newman's girlfriend. I just wanted to say hello and hope all is well in that relationship, guys.
Prust, I hope you're right. I'm hearing the show in the background.
Yeah, my computer.
Yeah,
reset.
Pretty, oh, okay.
I'm trying to get as fast as I can over there to mute it.
That's all right.
All right.
Well, Rich, the reason I wanted to call you, I'll just, well, I want Jim. I don't want to spoil this because it may not happen. It probably won't happen. But the reason I wanted to contact you, we were in talks, or still are in talks with one of your probably your favorite Ranger of all time, and. I don't want to say it, but Jim.
I think it's his second favorite.
The second favorite?
I think Ricky's favorite all time Rangers, Walt Tkachuk, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right,
this
so
would
be
your
second
favorite.
My second favorite.
At least
Rangers.
Your second favorite, I guess. At least. He's obviously not your first.
You got me stumped on that one, Mousy. I mean, because Tkachuk is my all time favorite, and Fatigue is my second.
Oh, okay. Then maybe it's your third.
Maybe I've misjudged you.
You have Domi coming up.
You met this. Who?
Maybe he's your fourth favorite. He said you have Ty Domi coming on. I said, oh boy, maybe he's your fourth favorite.
You met this man when you were a kid with one of your friends. Was really a big fan of his. And bought. Right.
Bubba's coming on from China, huh? He's making Wang's cupcakes.
We're trying. I had a conversation with him about a week and a half ago, and I tried to set something up. And
that'd be awesome. He's a Bubba. Listen, I haven't seen or talked to Bubba in a long time, but I know you guys laugh at that candy dish story. But he was. Did I ever tell you the reason we got Bubba the candy dish was because when Pat Verbeek cut his thumb off. Me and a bunch
you
of my friends.
You told me the story, but you could tell Jim in the audience.
The Rangers used to drive to the Meadowlands and park outside in the parking lot. So if you went early in the day, you get to meet all of these, you know, all your favorite players. You just had to hang out outside and chase the car and get an autograph. So Pat Verbeek had cut his thumb off in a farming accident the year before, and me and my friends used to go to the morning skate and play street hockey in the parking lot. So we saw Pat Verbeek coming, and my buddy went to a jewelry store and got a little ring box, and he wrapped it up. And inside of it, we put a fake thumb full of ketchup. And we wrapped it up, and that night before the game, Pat Verbeek comes pulling in with Joe Sorella and Kirk Muller. And there was a whole bunch of us. We ran over. We were like, oh, Pat, welcome back. Oh, we're so glad. You know, make them believe we're Devil fans. And we're like, here you go, Pat. We got you a little something for coming back. So he took like three steps and said thank you, and he started walking, and he opened it up. And inside was the bloody fake thumb. And he started cursing at us, and Kirk Muller came after us. You little pieces of shit, you little fucks, he's cursing at us, blah, blah, blah. And Barry Beck stepped out of his car and goes, get the fuck away from those kids now. And that night, Barry Beck beat Kirk Muller's ass on the ice and gave him two black eyes. So the next week the Rangers played the Devils at the Meadowlands was Bubba's birthday, and we had read in the paper he got a new apartment with no furniture. So my friend, who was the biggest Barry Beck fan in the world, went and bought him a what's that crystal company? A Waterford Crystal candy dish to give him for his apartment. And Bubba hugged us. It was, like, very awkward because he wrapped us both up and gave us a big hug and was like, "You guys are so thoughtful. How did you ever know?" So it was actually a very funny story. He saved us from getting beat up by Kurt Muller as little kids.
That's funny.
That is. That's a great story. Boy, I got to tell you, you got a weird sense of humor there. I love it. Yeah, so, Bob, the reason, and I'm not speaking out of school here. Well, I don't think so, because we're all friends. When Jim talked to him, he said, you know, "Please remind me because of the concussions have kind of taken their toll." So I think, I mean, this is just pure conjecture on my part, and maybe Jim could back me up or corroborate if he thinks this way, that Beck, the reason we haven't seen him in New York or be interviewed or anything, because let's face it, if he wanted to be, he could do appearances in New York and live off that for the rest of his life. I mean, you know, he's that loved in our generation and be part of the Rangers organization. He could be the color announcer in a minute they'd replace. And I think he may be suffering some post-concussion syndrome. So I hope all is well, and hopefully we can get him on the show. I mean, you know, we just
talked. Is he still doing the hockey camps in China, Mel?
Yes.
Yeah, he's like the head of some kind of like organization for hockey over there, for youth hockey. So.
Do you think it could be too about the rumors? I mean, I don't want to start. I love Bubba, don't get me wrong, but you know, he had a pretty rough year.
I don't want fans
and all of that nonsense. And you ever think he just had enough in New York? Like it was like, you know, the poor guy played with one arm for like three seasons. You know, it was you're not going to get me to say nothing bad about him or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, the fans gave the guy such a bad time here.
I remember him being interviewed when he had the shoulder problems. I remember him being interviewed, you know, like the in between periods interview. And I don't remember who was interviewing him, but I remember him saying that his shoulder hurt so bad that he was at home trying to eat dinner and couldn't lift his fork, but he was still playing.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I distinctly remember him saying that in an interview, and I remember thinking, how's he playing hockey if he can't hold his fork?
Jimmy, do you remember when he got kicked in the face with the skate and he got that wicked, wicked scar around his eye all the way through his cheek?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
He was back in like a game. I think he missed one game. He had 100 stitches in his face.
That's nuts.
You know, people don't realize that Barry Beck was so feared. You know, people say Beck didn't fight in New York. Nobody wanted to fight Barry Beck. If you remember, there was a bench cutting brawl the night Terry Kleiser.
It was like Gillies.
Yeah, it was like Gillies, exactly. And if you remember,
yeah,
Terry Carkner squared off with Clark Gillies his rookie year behind John Van Beesbrook in the corner at Madison Square Garden. And Gillies turned and dropped his gloves with Carkner. And Barry Beck skated in, who was Carkner's defense partner, dropped his gloves, put his arm on Gillies, skated him to the corner, talked to him, and they both skated away. And Gillies said in an interview, what went down? He said, the kid got a little anxious, wanted to fight me. I was ready to do it. Bubba come in and say to me, don't do it, Clark, or I'm going to have to do it at one of your rookies. And he goes, I agree with you, Bubba, and they skated to the penalty box. That was the respect that Barry Beck had. He didn't have to fight. He made a threat. Nobody wanted to mess with the guy. Dave Brown came up, if you remember, the preseason game where Terry Kleisinger skated the length of the ice and the whole big brawl at Madison Square Garden with the Rangers where Shel Samuelson held Eddie Hospodar. Barry Beck took Dave Brown down three times, picked him up and threw him on his back and held him on the ice. And at one point, and it's on the video if you go back and watch it, Barry's pointing with his index finger, holding Dave Brown with one arm down on the ice and pointing in his face with the other one, and Dave Brown didn't do shit.
He was just one of those guys. I mean, like Gillies, they said he was just raised an eyebrow and knew, don't mess. But, you know, there's going to be serious implications here. And then those guys, I mean, I know we live in a, I don't know. I hate to say it, but I don't hate to say it, but those guys just, they were real men. I mean,
no,
you know,
imagine if that guy played today. He'd get a penalty on every check he threw.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and Cutter's talking about Bjorn Salming getting 200 stitches, but I can bet you that Bjorn Salming was not back on the ice the next night. And Brad Brown, Jay and the Dead keep bringing up big, bad Brad Brown. Wow. I liked him for about 30 games, Brad Brown. He was he's the fight, right?
Yeah, here's a question for you. What number did the Rangers organization issue Brad Brown?
6.
4. Where do you go, Ron Greshner? Take it right in your keister from Mr. Saylor.
And on that note, we say so long.
Good night, guys. Love you both. Have a
great
show.
Thanks for calling, brother.
Thanks, Ricky.
You know what? Me and Jay the Dead are the only people that like Brad Brown. I actually have the best of Brad Brown fight tape.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad Brad Brown. Yeah, yeah. It's only about 30 minutes long, though.
All right. We got 14 minutes to go in the show. I'm gonna bring DB Maven and Mandar in just a second here. Just want to remind you guys, no Blue Shirt Banner Radio next Wednesday night. We're gonna we will go dark, as they say on Broadway. And then I'll be on Friday night Radio Nowhere. Friday night from 10 to 12. That will be right here on the Blue Shirt Banner Radio page. I hope you'll join me. It'll be interesting. A little comedy, a little music. You know, just probably some Springsteen and maybe a little Jimmy Buffett. Who knows? But we'll talk about some different things, and hopefully we'll have some fun. So that'll be next Friday night from 10 to 12, and then Blue Shirt Banner Radio will return in August, whatever the first Tuesday in August is, the following week. So Eddie can have a little vacation time, and I'll be traveling a little bit as well. So we'll see you guys on the other side. So for now, let's bring in DB Maven. DB, good evening. How are you?
Doing all right, guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
Doing good. Doing good.
Mandar, good evening to you as well.
Good evening, gentlemen.
What's going on? How are you?
What's on your mind, TB Maven? You're on the pulse of everything. What's going on over there?
He's the voice of reason.
I don't know. The voice of unreason, seemingly, lately.
What's going on?
Had to laugh. I posted on the banter last night at 10 o'clock, and within an hour of my post, the NHL nullified the contract with Kobe. And Jim was a smart ass as usual with a comment in the thread.
Yeah, well, because DB Maven said, I'm sorry, I just need to talk about something other than line combinations. So, of course, I had to ask, so what do you think the line combinations are going to be this year? Ranger fans are obsessed with line combinations. It's all fans,
God.
Obsessed with line combinations.
Yeah, how can you figure out the line? I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean,
especially with a coach that juggles the lines every three shifts.
It makes no sense to even start. Yeah, I can't think about line combinations until I know who the hell's going to be on the team. So that'll be, October?
Yeah. Now, I thought the reason that you were not the voice of reason is that you went off on a tangent that the Rangers did not acquire the services of Garnet Exelby.
Nah, whatever. You know? I'm to the point of, Sather hasn't done much of anything, okay? You've just got this tingle going down your back that he's going to do something, because if he sits still and does nothing for an entire summer, you just gotta wonder what's going on, right?
He shakes like a junkie.
Yeah, well, or maybe he's really dead and it's a mannequin that they've got up there or something. I don't know. Because it's just completely out of character for Glenn Sather to not do something. Whether it's good or bad, he's got to do something.
I don't think he can do anything until he knows what Stahl is going to sign for. And that's going to happen. It's going to go all the way up to the regular season. I think there's nobody in there who can figure out the cap and the ramifications of signing anybody. I think that's what's hampering him from doing a stupid move,
which
is a good thing.
Well, actually, you're right. It may be actually preventing him from doing a stupid move, and in that perspective, you're absolutely right. It's a good thing. But I don't know. It just doesn't seem right. You know, he clearly didn't sign anybody in free agency, so that means that's done, especially with Kolachuk off the market. And if I read one more thing about NHL sources say, or Eklund commenting about who the Rangers are trading to whomever, I think I'm going to kill somebody, because neither one of them have a shred of credibility. Oh, my God. You know, Ricky,
do you follow? Do you follow Eklund, DB?
Oh, no, I won't. I don't. But
well, see, I follow him just for the comedy, and I always send him responses that he never responds to. Like, last year. Well, I'm one of them. But like last year when, Gomez had been traded, right? And we were all under the impression, because we were hearing it from, you know, reputable people, that, you know, the Danny Heatley deal was in the works. It was imminent, you know, all this. And he's tweeting, Heatley to the Oilers is a done deal announcement tonight. And then a couple hours later, and then the next night it would be, you know, like, then it would be Heatley's to the Rangers. It's almost done. And I'd be tweeting back to him, wait, I thought he got traded to the Oilers last night. And then the next day he tweets something about Heatley going to San Jose. And I'm like, wait a minute. He went from Edmonton to New York to San Jose. The Rangers traded him to San Jose? I'm like, you said this was a done deal. And he never responds to me.
Well, you know, he throws enough stuff against the wall. You know, it's the blind chicken finding a piece of corn every now and then. That's what he's all about. But that's where Larry Brooks gets all his info. That's his inside.
But what's funny is that an hour after the Devils had tweeted from the Devils official Twitterati that
right.
They'd signed Kovalchuk, an hour later Eklund is tweeting, the Kings may be out of the running for Kovalchuk.
It's great. Well, you know, Ricky's still on the chat room, and here he's saying, you know, that Eklund is putting up a blog about, you know, serious, you know, sources and Gabarek to L.A., and they're going to sign Covey. I mean, it's so freaking retarded. It's not even worth talking about. It just makes me nuts. It's one of the things that makes
me nuts. He generates that heat, though. I mean, he's the guy that, you know, listen, people like to bag on him, whatever he's doing. He's getting hits on his website just because he's an idiot. It's kind of like
and
mine.
That's why I will not follow him on Twitter, and I will not click a link to go to his website. I won't do it.
Yeah, and Wazili put a – he's right. All rumor sites are garbage. Just,
I agree.
Nobody knows.
Absolutely.
Unless it's coming from Bob McKenzie or somebody like that, you don't know.
Nobody yeah, I mean,
anything.
You know, unfortunately, with between the internet and Twitter, you can't believe 95% of what you read anymore. You know, I mean, it's all just garbage. Until there's an official announcement from the Kremlin, you don't believe that the Rangers have done anything. All right, so since we have DB and Mandar on the line, why don't we about 6 minutes to go? We go into the podcast. Who cares? And here, you know what? I think we have Peter. Is that you down in Tucson?
Yeah, it is.
How are you? We'll bring you in as well. We got about 6 minutes to go. I'm sure we'll run into the podcast for a few minutes. So just again, a reminder that since I won't have to do this before we go off the air, we won't be on next week. You can join me next Friday night if you'd like from 10 to 12. And if not, we'll see you guys 2 weeks from tonight. We'll be back on from 8 to 10. So, real quick, since we have you guys on the line, I'm going to run down some names on the roster, and I'll get a simple yes or no from each of you as to whether or not you think this particular player will be on the opening night roster. And
okay.
We'll run down a few names here. Since we talked about him before, Sean Avery. Start with you, Eddie.
Yeah, he'll be on the roster.
Mandar?
Absolutely.
DB?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
I'll say yes, but not as fast as you. It would not surprise me if he's not on this team.
Yeah, but he's only got a 1.9 hit on the cap too. So that,
I'm not even thinking about his cap hit.
I mean, who knows where he'll finish the season, but I think that he'll be in there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much a
Brian Boyle. Eddie.
I don't want him there.
That's not what I asked you.
No purpose.
You don't want any of these guys I'm going to mention.
I
you had it your way, this roster would have about four players on it.
Well, this guy especially, I don't hate him, but what does he do? So I would say no.
Okay. DB. Brian Boyle.
Yes, I think he will be.
Mandar?
No, I don't.
Peter?
I don't think he's there.
I think he's going to be on the top. I think he's going to be in the 23, but I don't think he's going to skate. I think he's going to be a healthy scratch.
Okay. How about Eric Christensen? Eddie?
He'll be there.
DB?
Clearly he's going to be there, yes.
Mandar?
He'll be there. I'll tell you this. He'll be there on the opening night roster, but not more than probably 15 games in.
Peter?
I think he's going to be on the opening night roster, but again, I think he's another guy that's going to be tried to replace at some point.
Do you go by Pete or Peter?
Either way, it's fine.
Okay. All right. How about Steve Eminger? Eddie?
No.
Mandar?
You
got a chance of Dean Eminger getting on a team. Dean the Dream.
He'll be like the seventh defenseman, but not on the ice.
You don't
count
on the seventh defenseman.
Not until March.
Still not.
Hey, we didn't talk about Corey Potter getting Gonzo. Sorry, I'm derailing you. Go ahead.
DB?
I think he'll be the seventh defenseman as well. I think they learned from the mistakes last year, and they're going to carry a seventh, and he'll be it.
You're a fool. I think they learned. Sorry, I don't mean you're a fool, just that they learned.
Hey, come on. It's July. Can we have a little bit of freaking hope?
Yeah.
Okay. Too late.
We didn't mention Corey Potter signing with the Penguins. I forgot to mention that.
That was weeks ago.
Yeah, well, it was last week.
Colonel Potter.
All right, go ahead.
All right, how about Dane Byers? Eddie?
I'd like to see him up, but no.
Mandar?
No.
DB?
Not likely.
Pete?
I think he's going to be the fourth line left wing.
Okay, which is good. Which is as good as not being on the roster.
He's a physical winger. I mean, he's not really much more than that right now. I mean, the guy can lay a hit. He's a decent skater. I don't really see him being much more than that long term. So, I mean, Boyle doesn't hit, and he's 6'7". I'd rather have Byers on the team.
Okay.
Come on, it'll be the rehash of the Killer Bees. Boyle, Bugard, and Byers.
Bugard. I don't even know if Bugard's going to make the team, but he's making 1.7.
Let me throw here. How about Grachev? Eddie?
He shouldn't, but he might.
Mandar?
Just the opposite. I think he should be, but he won't.
DB?
Not opening night, no.
Pete?
I think he deserves a chance. I think it's all about training camp. I don't think he'll be on the opening night lineup, no.
I think Grachev will be on the opening night roster.
If he doesn't get playing time, what's the point?
That's my thing.
Well, you should take Eddie's advice. Put him with an Anisimov and see what happens.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah. He needs somebody, the Rushies. They like the bloody guy.
How about Dale Weiss? Eddie.
Yes, he'll be on the team.
Mandar?
No.
DB?
I don't think so, no.
Pete?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Let me get, how about each of, Eddie, give me one name, guy on the Rangers roster that you don't think is going to be going to be there in October. He'll be off, he'll be gone from the team.
Is this wishful thinking or is this for real?
Is this,
no, this
what I think so.
And you can't say Redden.
Oh.
And you can't say Redden.
I think it's Eddie's the Redden's the that's taking candy from a baby.
This is a tough question. pick somebody else. I can't think of anything right now.
Mandar.
But
one guy on the Rangers roster right now who won't be with who won't be a Ranger come opening night. Ricky says Gilroy.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Sanguinetti? Oh, he's already gone.
Carolina.
I think Gilroy. Yeah, I actually think Gilroy is the right answer too.
DB.
The
heavy breath. The pregnant.
Yeah. The pregnant pause is having another baby. I don't know who it's going to be honest. I think Gilroy's going to be there, and I just – there's going to be a trade, and who goes is a good question. I don't know who it's going to be. I really don't.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Michael Roosevelt.
Yeah, I'd go with Roosevelt.
Got to find somebody who wants him.
I think someone wants him. I mean, he's got a declining contract.
Happy birthday
down.
To Matt Gilroy, by the way. Turned 26 yesterday. And I'm sure he's listening.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did.
We want cupcakes.
We want cupcakes. We want cupcakes. We want cupcakes.
You're welcome.
Is that what it's come down to?
I can't wait. I can't wait to hear that for the first time at Madison Square Garden because you know it's coming.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think, yeah. You know, the Roosevelt pick is probably the only one that makes sense from a trade perspective, but given that this is Darth Sather and, you know, there's – there you go. He's going to swindle somebody out of something, and it's going to end up with actually, if I had to guess, because of that, I would say it will be Roosevelt and either Cali or Doobie. One of the two of them with Rosie goes in a package somewhere.
I thought I was going to say Dubinsky and Roosevelt to Ottawa for Spezza, but I don't know if Ottawa is going to want to do that.
That's not enough, and I don't think they want Roosevelt, but.
Callahan's kind of my, you know, my dark horse if for picking a guy that wouldn't be on the team. Roosevelt's my first choice.
I
tell you, it wouldn't surprise me.
Fans are going to go crazy.
The world happy though.
Fans are going to go crazy over what?
If Red
Callahan
traded or waived
or Callahan.
I'm not saying it's, you know, to me it's okay, but the fans will be. You want to talk about? Disgruntled. That's why I say the rally just got like increased tenfold if they trade Callahan.
Well,
even if it's a prudent move.
Who's going
to
figure out
the trading and they'd have to get something with value back?
I mean, Callahan kills penalties. He plays on the power play. He's
USA.
What was that?
Team
from
USA.
The United States. Team USA. The whole thing. The whole bit.
I mean, he's
There'll
not really a replaceable kind of player.
Well, I don't want to overrate the guy. He's a 20-goal scorer that kills penalties and plays on the power play and hustles. Now, you would like to think that there's a ton of guys in the NHL. It doesn't make him special, just makes him special on this team.
Well, that's my point, though. Other teams aren't going to give up guys like that. guys like Dustin Brown, Buff Lynn, those kind of guys. You're not going to get those guys. That's why trading Callahan doesn't really make a lot of sense for the Rangers.
Well, if you're able to somehow parlay that into a top two-line winger, then it kind of makes sense if there's a team that's lacking that. But the only team that he's going to go to that would make sense would be a contending team that is like a piece or two away of being an upper echelon team. You know, you could see him going to, I would say, like a West Coast team, like an L.A. Colorado had a good year. You know, teams like that that are, you know, that need that kind of player to push them to the next level.
That's usually what you're saying, Mandar, makes sense, but that's usually the type of guy teams are looking for at the trade deadline as opposed to in July.
Would you guys give up Callahan in a deal to get Peter Mueller still?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
I would. Eddie's favorite player.
Yeah, but you know, also Callahan has an expiring contract too, which is attractive to any team right now. Also,
he's a restricted free agent.
I don't know. Peter Mueller. Well, he had that concussion at the end of the year, so I don't know what happened with him there. But before, I would have. You know me. I'm a Peter Mueller fan.
But
Callahan's still. I mean, look, he's still young, guys. I mean, I know what Bandar's thinking. Just because he's young doesn't mean he's good. But there's still some room to improve offensively. This is his year.
I just don't understand why Ranger fans would be down on Callahan over
I don't think they'll find anybody down on him again. But I think what the problem is that we're so starved for offense that we have a guy that scores 15 to 20 goals and is a grinder, which we consider almost untouchable because he hustles a lot. And again, shouldn't that be the rule, not the exception? And how, you know, we don't tend to think about how our players are judged outside of the Rangers.
I don't overrate Callahan in terms of a league, from a league standpoint. I know what Callahan is. The point is, though, the Rangers need players like him to get to the next level. He's one of the guys that are going to help the Rangers get to the next level. So the way I look at it is if they trade Callahan, they take
He'll
a step back.
He'll be 35.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to step back in a way because there's no one on the team that's going to fill that void if he's gone. Maybe we'll end up getting somebody good for him. I don't know, but, I mean, what do the Rangers really need to address? A playmaking
Or you got Stepan that comes in or somebody like that who might be able to play the same type of game. I mean, look, again, it's a catch-22. Everybody wants the young guys coming in, but then they're afraid if they bring the young guys in that we're not going to be very good, so we got to give them 5 years to mature somewhere along the way. If Callahan is a player that has desirable skills, but and the point that you make, Eddie, is good. You don't, if he has room to improve, let's say he might be a Graves type. Maybe he can get 30 to 40 goals a year. Maybe. But he doesn't have a Messier playing with him. I don't see anybody on this team that he's going to play with that's going to improve his offensive production. He is what he is. He's not, and that's not bad, but that's not taking this team to the next level.
The other thing is that the Rangers have a history of trading away the Dubinsky and Callahan types. Whether they get anything useful for them is certainly questionable at times, but you can go back historically and look at Ridley and Miller. You can look at York. You can look at a whole slew of guys who are in that same kind of
as you may think. And, you know, if you want to play armchair quarterback, you can do that. But really, Ridley and Miller, that was just from Esposito being Esposito, and you're going to talk about the mid-'80s. But, you know, that isn't the recent Ranger history. You won't find deals like that within the last 10, 15 years.
No,
regardless
of
how bad we've been.
Yeah, we've been bad for other reasons.
I think Callahan, with Callahan, it's not so much. I mean, he's been shown that he can score without that centerman. Just he's so streaky, and that's
the way I look
he's
at the
be
team,
more
though,
consistent.
The way I look
what?
At the team this year, I think they identified some players last year. I think that the Rangers need to stick with what they've got for now, let some of these young guys show their stuff in training camp, see who's actually going to take a next step up, and if they're going to make a trade to try to improve the roster for now, it needs to come from the defense because we've got so many young defensemen coming up. And Roosevelt and Redden, these are two guys that, yeah, they're overpaid, but somebody will want him at some point. And I think if a trade's going to come, it's got to come from the defense, not from up front.
Well, yeah, you got to deal from strength, and if that's our strength, then you're right, obviously. You know,
the Rangers are just going to weaken themselves again, and then you're going to have to go out and find another guy. You know, so dealing from the defense, sticking with what we've got, seeing what happens with training camp. See, that's the frustration. Everybody wants to play, you know, what are the lines going to be? We have no idea who's going to excel in training camp. It's still 2.5-3 months away. And until we know, it's just, you know, why don't we just talk about Hugh Jessamine again?
Well, and but even at the right up to the very end of training camp, Grachev looked like he was going to make the team last year. Okay, so training camp, you know, even that's a crapshoot. You don't know who's going to actually end up on the opening day roster. There's so many variables. I mean, you know,
Enver Leesen made the team last year,
right? Enver Leesen made the team. I mean, that's a classic example. And who knows who the, you know? Will it be Dale Weiss this year? You know, will Chris Newberry have a phenomenal camp and make the roster? I mean, yeah, probably not. But
is that guy we signed, Jeremy Williams?
Yeah, the point guard.
The point guard.
I know nothing about that guy.
He was.
Oh, my God. Facebook. I got people. What do you think about the rumors of, say, they're trading Gabby to L.A. and then signing Kovalchuk? I think
go
it's
away.
Garbage made up by a greasy.
Oh, is that again?
Greasy?
Oh, he is. He's greasy looking. He's at the draft, but he does nothing. He just like hangs around at the draft and does nothing. I mean, really.
The only thing
that's
about his
what
height,
he does every day.
Pull up cap information. That's the only thing I go there for.
Don't go there. Go to CapGeek. It's better.
CapGeek.
Much better.
Yeah. That's where I go because that's I think what DB Maven told me.
You guys realize that it's going to be another. You know, outside looking in year, right?
Absolutely.
We're going to be 8-9 again, fighting to get in.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be cursed.
I'm okay with that.
I'd
rather see them 12th or 13th than 8 or 9,
yeah.
To be honest with you.
They're going to be bad. And
I'm
just
hoping that some of these young guys actually take the
if you listen,
do something.
If you listen to my broadcast last year, and what I said early on, you know, I did the Kool-Aid thing after the big start. But I said, what you got to look for as a Ranger fan is just the addition of these young guys and watch them and hope they develop. Like, you know, because if you're looking at the wins and losses, you're going to be disappointed. I mean, it's really, it's Anisimov. Will he progress? Will Delzato get better in his defensive end? Will Gilroy somehow find what he had or may have the two young guys, if they keep, like Carpinello said last week, if they keep adding two young guys per year, that's pretty good.
Yep.
And eventually we're going to be out of this cesspool with, you know, hopefully Redden. I think Ranger fans will be so positive after Redden gets sent down, if that happens, which I hope it happens.
I hope he gets
but they really shouldn't get too positive into thinking, well, now we've turned the corner. But because we up front we're very weak, which is not a very good team.
Well, if Zuccarello Austin's going to play, they got to put him with somebody big. I mean, I'm thinking they got to put him with Dubinsky and maybe Anisimov because he's going to get knocked around.
I can't tell you. Like I said, I have to see these guys play before I can even tell you if they're good. And you watch a YouTube video, all right, he looks good, all right, he played good in the Olympics. And who do I know? He might be Nigel Dawes for all I know. I can't really tell.
Come on, Bugard looks like a figure skater.
He scored some big points in an elite league. So, I mean, I'm not
saying that's
but I'm high on
it's promising.
He's got wheels.
You know, it's promising, but... Again, I have to
tell you what I'm the most worried about one thing, and uh-oh. We have all the youth we could do. We can sign whoever you want to sign, but I'm going to harp on this. This guy that we have behind the bench has had over a year now, and if he doesn't have a clue behind there, then no matter how many young guys we bring up, no matter how we can accept the losses, it's not going to matter because this guy has got to be the one to lead this team and develop the young players. And you're right. It does. Wins and losses aren't the matter, but it's the way you're going to lose. You know you're going to lose. Are you losing because of your inexperience, but you see the hustle out there, they just don't match up talent level with somebody else? You can accept that. But if we're going to go through the dregs of the 6-0 losses to the Flyers like we saw this year, where there's no effort given, and the coach throws his arms up and goes, I don't know why, well then, that helps no one know, and I don't care how promising your own guys are going to be. It starts from the top there. And if he's going to be a buffoon and label certain young players early on without giving them a chance, or if he doesn't develop any kind of consistency on this team, where if they don't score from shift to shift, that he isn't making wholesale changes and just accept the fact that they need time to gel, then we're really in for deep no matter who we have on this team.
Eddie, what does Wazili want us to say about the Kovalchuk deal that hasn't been said?
I don't know.
Who cares about Kovalchuk?
He's complaining. He doesn't like. He didn't like tonight's show.
Oh well, hey, listen.
I don't.
And Eddie just thought that people would talk more about Kovalchuk.
What can I say?
I don't know. When did this become a devil's show?
And I got
a. He's not a ranger.
But meanwhile, I'm talking to this.
I'm talking to Chris on
Facebook, and he's telling me how great our show was tonight because he likes when we be, when we're goofy.
We got
Wazili. Say he won't go back to Atlanta.
Who would want to go to Atlanta? It's hot and it's stupid.
It's hot and it's stupid.
That's all he gave us butthead there.
And the pizza sucks.
The pizza's terrible. And
there on Atlanta.
Well, I've been to Atlanta. It's hot and it's stupid.
They got some good young defense. Goaltending.
Yeah, they got Zach Bogosian. They got our boy Nick Antropov, Vander Kane. Yeah, I know, but it's not a hockey hot.
They have Spin Divot.
Yeah,
they got
Spawn
Dustin
Divot.
Bufflin.
Yeah,
I like
there's a name.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's a name that's going to be forgotten real quick. Now that he's not on Chicago. I got a feeling.
Welcome
so
to hockey obscurity.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's, come on. I also want to point out the fact the Rangers were very injury-free last year. Until the end, they got hit with the injuries, but if they get hit by the injury bug, holy cow, I think it might be. It either may work in their favor because then John Tortorella will actually have to, bring somebody up from Hartford other than a backup goalie. But it's going to be rough if they got to go depth.
What did they have last year? Two major injuries. Prosper was out for about a month, and Dubinsky was out for about a month.
Other than Lundqvist, it doesn't matter who you take out of this lineup for any extended period of time, it'll be the same thing.
Gavrik?
Unfortunately, that's true.
Remember, Gavrik was out for a while, too. He was out, for a handful of games, and I think there were 500 in the games that he was out.
Well, we watched one of them, me and Jim, together against the Islanders, and they lost. As a matter of fact, when Gavrik went out for that first couple of games, that's when the Rangers went completely in the tank. And they were like, I remember, right? Weren't they 7-2-1, and then Gavrik got hurt, was out for a couple games, and then they blew for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
What happened last year, too, is that we always get killed by the Olympic break. And there won't be that this year, either. So, Lundqvist won't have to play 70 games plus the Olympics.
And I just don't want to see the John Tortorella, our players have to play better, our best players have to play better. I'm sick of that nonsense.
He has no answer.
And I want accountability. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. The accountability thing needs, if he's going to talk it, he's got to walk it. That's the key.
Exactly.
He talked about it into the end of training camp about accountability and the whole nine yards, and about the only time that he had any gumption to show that was when he sat Redden. Right. It was that was about it. And he also sat.
How many games in?
Yeah, well, it was too many games in, and it wasn't something that he repeated. He did it once, and then he walked away from it.
Right.
You know, he sat Kotalik once or twice and then put him in the doghouse. You know, so.
And released and put him on the bench for a whole game, didn't play.
Right.
What are you doing? Just send the guy down. Bring somebody up.
Well,
the
Enver lesson.
Enver lesson.
And, you know,
was in the lineup is because he could sing.
This is the last thing I'm going to say about this, but. The thought that Chris Drury is going to waive his no movement clause to go to L.A. He's a Connecticut guy. Why would he go? I mean, this is so stupid. And that's all I'm going
to
say. That's all.
Jay Kopitar.
That's all I got to say about that. All right, fellas, I'm going to go eat some dinner. I just want you to know you're all my cuppy cupcakes.
We want cupcakes.
Hey guys, do me a favor. Stop picking on Hugh Jessamine.
Who?
I didn't
I pick on him.
Tonight. We
Who?
Love him. We love him. He's the pride of Dartmouth.
He is.
Yeah.
All right.
Lee Stepniak, the guy we didn't take in the same draft. He went after Jessamine.
He's still out there.
Good at him. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Good night, guys. Have a good week.
Good night,
everybody.
Bye.
Yeah.